Okay, let's just jump right in. We've got a really provocative premise for today's deep dive. What if every single day your organization is deleting its most valuable asset?
Right.
I mean, not just letting institutional memory fade, but actively, shredding the very intelligence that you paid millions to generate.
It does sound like an exaggeration at first, I'll admit. But the analysis we looked at, it makes this incredibly clear case that this is, well, exactly what happens when companies don't treat their decisions as a form of intellectual capital.
They don't give them that same rigorous treatment they'd give their core product.
Not even close.
And that's our mission for this deep dive. We're going to get into why these strategic choices, the architectural decisions, all those critical trade-offs, basically the whys of the business,
The whys.
why they should be archived and versioned and documented with the exact same discipline you'd apply to, say, source code.
The main analogy that the sources use is, well, it's kind of catastrophic when you really think
Yeah,
about it.
right.
Imagine your engineering team. They write thousands of lines of code. It ships. And then poof, it's deleted.
Gone.
Not archived, just
We
gone.
deleted. I mean, can you imagine the senior engineers deploying a new feature and then they just hit a shred button on the entire repository? Zero history.
Right.
So every line of code just vanishes the second the next version goes live. And then a new engineer joins and they ask, hey, why did we use this specific database schema 2 years ago? And the answer is just silence.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows the rationale. It's just gone.
And yet, and this is the core point the authors make, we accept this exact same catastrophic loss when it comes to decisions. A huge strategy is debated, it's decided in some quick meeting, maybe summarized in a Slack thread or two.
And then it just disappears into the digital ether.
Completely. So 6 months later, leadership changes, or a new team needs to execute on that strategy. And the core decision, the pricing model choice, the go-to-market decision, it's just gone.
And the fallout for you as a listener is that you end up having the same debate all over again, wasting weeks of executive time. Or, and this is worse, a new leader comes in and makes a different decision based on zero historical context.
Which actively contradicts existing really expensive investments that were based on that original, now forgotten rationale.
It's a mess.
Well, if we agree that intellectual capital is knowledge that gets more valuable over time and can be reused, then the thesis here is pretty undeniable. When your decisions die, your organization's ability to compound its learning dies right along with them.
Okay, so that brings up a really good question. Why decisions over code? Because code feels like the real currency, right? It's the thing that actually runs the business. So why do these sources argue that decisions are actually higher up in the intellectual hierarchy?
Because code is the executor. The decision is the strategy. To really get the value, you have to look at what kind of deep intelligence a decision actually captures. Decisions are so valuable because they can be versioned and documented and referenced just like code. But the substance is just so much richer.
Right. So tell us more about those components. What is the intellectual capital that's actually captured in these choices?
The analysis points to three big ones. First, decisions represent problems solved. So, for example, an organization spends, say, 6 months evaluating three different go-to-market strategies: direct sales, channel partners, and a SaaS model.
Okay.
And they choose direct sales because factors X, Y, and Z were seen as critical. That whole 6 months of work of problem solving,
Right.
that is organizational capital.
Okay, so that's the first one.
Second, they capture patterns discovered. And this isn't just theory, it's hard data that's been packaged into useful context. For instance, you learn through experience that hiring engineers in Q1 means their ramp up and onboarding time is like 12 weeks.
Right, because everyone's busy.
But hiring in Q3 only takes 6 weeks. Maybe because the workload is lower or managers have more time.
Wow, that is a phenomenal nugget of insight. So why is that specific pattern such valuable capital?
Because that insight lets you strategically front load your hiring costs. You can budget for productivity lags. You can maximize your output velocity later in the year. If you forget that pattern, you just repeat the mistake of Q1 slowdowns next year and the year after that.
You end up paying for that knowledge over and over again.
If you fail to preserve it, yes.
And the third one, which I think is maybe the most critical, is trade-offs understood. And this is where the sources use that fantastic quote to clarify the relationship. Code is just an implementation of a decision.
And that's the difference between the how and the why. Code is the how. It's tactical. You can rewrite it, refactor it, use new frameworks or languages, and it doesn't have a massive consequence for the overall strategy.
But the decision, the why.
The decision is the underlying strategic choice. It often required making trade-offs that are probably still relevant today.
You can't just undo the decision to, I don't know, prioritize feature A over feature B from 2 years ago. That investment is sunk. All you can do is learn from the outcome of that choice.
Exactly. And make a better choice next time based on that preserved context, which is why decisions have a vastly longer shelf life than the code.
Yeah.
Your current code base will probably be completely rewritten or deprecated in, what, 5 years?
Yeah, that's just the nature of tech cycles.
But the strategy persists.
For sure.
A really foundational decision, like we are going to focus on the enterprise market over SMB, that shapes the entire organization's DNA, its hiring, its sales strategy, its roadmap, everything, for maybe a decade.
And if you lose the reasoning behind that core decision,
the culture struggles, and you get what the sources call organizational thrashing.
So, okay, let's move away from the theory for a second and look at the measurable real-world drag. What actually happens when this decision capital is just systematically lost? What does the source material say are the most common problems?
Well, the analysis lays out 5 major hidden costs. And the scary thing is they all compound over time. They act like this constant friction on your company's growth engine.
All right, let's start with cost number 1, thrashing.
Thrashing is that immediate time cost. It's the organization just burning cycles because teams are constantly redeciding issues they've already solved.
It's that meeting where someone goes, wait, didn't we debate the color of this button last year?
Exactly that meeting. And they spend 20 minutes searching through old emails or Slack.
Yeah.
They can't find the original logic. And then they spend another hour debating the exact same thing all over again. That time adds up.
Okay, cost number 2 is the insidious one, reinventing wheels.
This is when a team solves a known problem, but they solve it poorly. So a new product team decides, hey, let's build a custom internal tool for our analytics.
Right.
What they don't know is that 3 years ago, the IT department decided to invest in Vendor X and chose not to build an internal tool. And the reason was because of overwhelming maintenance costs and security issues they found during their research.
But if that original decision, the whole Vendor X versus build it ourselves debate, was lost,
the new team wastes months building a subpar, expensive solution because they lacked the critical insight the company had already paid for. You pay for the learning twice, and the second outcome is often worse.
Wow. Okay, next up is losing context. This one sounds dangerous, especially when leaders change.
It's incredibly dangerous.
Yeah.
Imagine a new chief marketing officer joins. They look at the budget and say, why are we spending so much on trade shows? We should only be investing in digital.
And nobody can explain the why.
Nobody can articulate it. The original decision, maybe it was that trade shows were chosen because a competitor was weak in that space, or the product needs a high-touch demo. That's all gone.
So the new CMO, who's acting on perfectly sound but contextless logic, makes a different call.
Exactly. They pivot, they cancel the trade shows, and that immediately throws the organization out of alignment with existing costly investments in the sales team, the product roadmap, everything that was based on that old forgotten decision. The whole organization just kind of stutters.
And I can see how that loss of context then fuels the fourth cost you mentioned, cultural decay.
It does. Explicit decisions about values. Things like, we value speed over thoroughness, or we prioritize short-term profit over long-term market share. Those are critical. But if they're not preserved and referenced, they just fade.
New people join, they make choices based on their own assumptions.
And the culture just drifts away from its foundational intent. You end up with a strategy doc that says one thing and a company culture that does another.
And that brings us to the final, and maybe most damaging, long-term cost, slow learning and repeated mistakes.
This one is brutal. An organization tries a new feature or a new market entry, and it fails. But if the original decision, the reasoning, and the outcome aren't rigorously documented, all they know is, well, that didn't work.
So 6 months later,
a different team facing a similar challenge tries the exact same thing, leading to the same failure, the same wasted capital, and zero learning. Organizations just can't get smarter if they don't preserve the knowledge from both successes and failures. It's like hitting undo on your progress.
So if the problem is really that structural, you know, the organizational equivalent of deleting your own source code over and over, then the blueprint for the fix has to come from where we already manage this stuff best.
From the engineering mindset.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So let's look at those 5 standard treatments for source code and how we can apply them to decisions.
The analysis gives a really clear framework for this. It's about leveraging processes that we already know work perfectly for complex, evolving information.
Okay, so treatment number 1 is versioning.
Right. Code tracks what changed, when it changed, who changed it, and why. Decisions need that exact same level of rigor. You have to track what was decided, when, who approved it, and crucially, the specific high-level reasoning.
And if the decision gets revisited?
That change also has to be tracked. You need a complete evolutionary story for every strategic choice.
Got it. Treatment two, archiving and permanence.
Code is never really deleted, right? It lives forever in version control, like Git. Decisions need that same permanent storage. They can't live in these fragile, ephemeral places like email inboxes or a Slack channel.
They need a real home.
A real home. A dedicated indexed knowledge base. Because the value of that context, unlike a tech framework, it doesn't diminish.
Yeah.
It just becomes richer historical data over time.
This goes way beyond just, you know, better filing habits, right?
Right.
Are we talking about specific tools here?
It has to be structural. A habit is a good start, but the system needs to support it. So yeah, we're talking about dedicated knowledge bases, maybe specialized decision logging software, or even integrating these records into something like architectural decision records, or ADRs, for technical choices.
It has to be a system built for retrieval, not just storage.
That's the key.
Okay, treatment three is documentation and context. With code, comments explain not just what the code does, but why the engineer wrote it a certain way.
And for decisions, that documentation needs to be rich and comprehensive. It has to include the full context. What alternatives were seriously considered? What specific trade-offs were explicitly accepted? Who approved the final decision?
Without those three things.
It's just a command. It's not a piece of intellectual capital.
Right. And treatment four is reference and reuse.
So engineers reference old code patterns or libraries to build new things faster. Leaders have to do the same with past decisions. When you're facing a new strategic choice, the very first step should be to ask, we faced a similar choice on expansion back in 2022 and decided X because of Y. Does that reasoning still hold up?
That instantly accelerates the current debate.
It has to. And that leads to the final treatment, number five, learning systems.
Okay.
Code gets reviewed and studied to find patterns and improve efficiency. Decisions need that same systematic review. Organizations should be running formal audits of past decisions, which ones worked, which ones failed spectacularly, to extract general lessons. That turns the whole system into an active learning machine, not just a passive history book.
So building this kind of system, it requires real discipline. And more importantly, it needs an explicit, agreed-upon process for actually capturing the information. The sources give a great template for what this structured capture should look like.
It has to be formalized. You need a clear header, something like decision. We will dedicate 80% of Q3 engineering resources to refactoring our core platform.
And the rationale has to be just as specific, not just to improve things.
No, absolutely not. The reasoning has to be tied to measurable outcomes. For example, current tech debt is causing 15 hours of unscheduled outage time per month, slowing developer velocity by 20%, and the ROI on refactoring is calculated at 18 months.
And then you have that whole capture checklist. What? Why, alternatives, trade-offs, owner, approver, date, and this is crucial, a revisit date.
That revisit date, say Q3 2026, that's the learning mechanism baked right into the process. It stops a decision from just feeding away. It forces a future moment of reflection where you have to ask, did that refactoring effort actually deliver the 18-month ROI we projected?
It turns history into accountability.
That's exactly.
So steps three and four are then all about making that capital immediately usable, discoverability and review.
Well, if you can't find the decision in a few seconds, the whole system fails. So they have to be indexed and tagged by date, by owner, by category, like go-to-market or technical architecture. A leader needs to be able to pull up every similar strategic choice from the last 3 years almost instantly.
I get the value in theory, but I have to play devil's advocate for a second. When you tell a fast-moving startup to do this, they're going to raise that immediate practical doubt. This will slow us down. This is just bureaucracy.
And that's a paramount concern, because if you implement it poorly, it would be bureaucracy. But the analysis hits back at that slowdown argument directly. You spend a little more time on capture, maybe 15 extra minutes after a meeting, but you save potentially weeks of time by not redebating things and repeating mistakes.
The mental shift is that phrase, move fast by thinking slow.
Move fast by thinking slow. Slower in the moment, but exponentially faster over the life of the company.
And what about that bureaucracy concern? How do you fight that perception?
The difference is purpose. Bureaucracy is processed for its own sake, with no clear benefit. This process, clear capture, permanent archiving, easy discovery, it serves the critical, provable purpose of accelerating learning. It's not bureaucracy, it's organized learning.
And what about the elephant in the room, documenting your wrong decisions? Nobody likes to put their mistakes on the record.
But you have to. You absolutely must. The source material says that documented wrong decisions are worth 10 times more than right decisions that are forgotten.
Because that's where the learning is.
That's where all the learning is. You document the failure, why it failed, the assumptions that were wrong, and what you learned from it. That allows the organization to evolve rationally. A forgotten wrong decision is just a landmine waiting for the next team to step on it.
Ultimately, though, this all comes down to a culture shift. This kind of system only works if leaders are actually modeling the behavior.
Absolutely. It means leaders have to stop asking, what should we do next?
Yeah.
And start their conversations by asking, have we decided something like this before? Let's call up the context and see what we learned. It means new employees onboard directly into the why behind current practices, not just the what.
So to bring this whole deep dive full circle, treating your decisions as intellectual capital, versioning them, archiving the context, building systems to learn from them, that's the fundamental engine that allows an organization to truly compound its knowledge.
And that compounding effect is the real long-term speed up. The organizations that execute well, they aren't always the ones that make the fastest decisions. They're the ones that make good decisions and consistently build on them without letting that critical context just fade away.
And for anyone listening who wants a practical first step to maybe prove this concept to their own team, the analysis offers a pretty manageable start.
It does. Just document your organization's tier one strategic decisions. Do it explicitly for just 1 month. Archive them in one accessible place. Even a simple wiki page is fine to start. Then, before your next big strategy meeting, reference them. Prove to yourself how much time you save by not having to redecide everything.
Right.
And here's a final provocative thought to leave you with. An organization is fundamentally just the sum of its choices. But what unacknowledged repeating mistake is your organization making right now, maybe even this week, simply because the critical, hard-won decision that would have prevented it was lost to history?